Chapter 3 and verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. One of the things that we can have confidence in is the faithfulness of God, his mercies. It is because of those mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions are new every morning. And morning is a term of time, isn't it? Yeah, we wake up in the morning. We don't have to wonder, is God going to be there? Is his mercy going to be there? And the mercies and grace that are there every morning, notice that it says they are new every morning. It's not leftovers from yesterday. It's not going to use those up and we'll see. They are new every morning. As elementary as that thought may be, but yet I think it is important that we think about that. Because I think it is a tremendous thought about God and his faithfulness. Because he is my portion, therefore will I hope in him. Is the Lord your portion this morning? Do you know him personally as your Savior, as your Master? Is he your portion this morning? We're going to look at some scripture this morning that reminds us of how God has been faithful to us this past year. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. These are all in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 1. As we reflect back on God's faithfulness, God kept his promises. There's a number of promises in Scripture, and God kept every one of them. It is something that we never need to doubt, whether God will keep his promises. Ephesians chapter 1, one of the signs of his faithfulness is his forgiveness. Have you experienced God's forgiveness this past year? If you have experienced God's forgiveness this past year, and I know that all of us have if we have claimed that promise, because we are human and we needed God's forgiveness this past year, every one of us. And the fact that he has forgiven us is a sign of his faithfulness. We are not looking at this morning, is God going to be faithful, but reminding ourselves that God has been faithful. Ephesians 1 and verse 7 and 8, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That's in the beloved, that is in Christ. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, to what extent is the riches of his grace? To what volume is that? How would you explain that? What unit of measure would you use to describe the richness of his grace? There is no unit of measure that we can use in earthly terms, in our human terms. See, to explain to you my riches in the material things would not take very long. It would not take a big unit of measure at all to explain that to you. And that would probably be the case for most of us here this morning. But to explain the riches of his grace. But to that extent, he has extended forgiveness to us, according to the riches of his grace. I was going to read verse 8 as well. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Notice the words that could use to describe these things. It doesn't say that there's been enough towards us. It has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. If we struggle to accept or struggle to believe that God has forgiven us, that is not on God's part. That is on our part. And the more we get into the Word, the more we understand, and the closer we walk with God. And not only that, but that, I guess, would deepen our faith. Notice in chapter 1 here, Paul is telling the Ephesians of his prayer for them. I think it's tremendous. In verse 16, he says, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and was the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." These are the things that God wants to show us. These are the things that God wants us to experience in our life. And if we're not experiencing those things, it's not because God wasn't faithful in showing these things to us. It was because we weren't in the Word. We were not believing and accepting these things. We were too busy pursuing other things. We were doubting God's Word. Maybe one of the above was our experience. And God wants us to experience these things. He wants us to know what is the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling. The calling of a people as his servants, as his children. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance and the exceeding greatness of his power. These are things that God wants us to experience. How do we know that God's forgiveness is a sign of his faithfulness? 1 John 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." What does that have to do with faithfulness? God has promised he would. And by his faithfulness, God always keeps his promise. So the requirement is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. God has kept his promise. We can be assured of that in the past as we reflect on his faithfulness. And we can be assured of that in the future as well. Look a little more in the future, a little later here. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, another sign of God's faithfulness. In the past, he has been merciful. We had experienced in chapter 2, the first three verses. But God, in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." But God is rich in mercy. Mercy is not giving us what we deserve. We did not deserve God's faithfulness. God didn't give it to us because we deserved it. But because he loved us and because of his faithfulness and being, God is faithful. But God who is rich in mercy. So let us not think this morning that it's we are deserving of it, and therefore, no, he's rich in mercy. In verse 7 and 8, "that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding richness of his grace." Again, talking about the richness of his grace. "In his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." It's not what you have done this past year in a line of the way you lived your life and how free from sin you were and how well you did in your Bible reading and how well you... No, it's because of his grace and your faith. Verse 8 says you're saved by grace through faith. by grace through faith, accepting God's grace, accepting the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what saved us in the first place. It's not what we have done. But we look back and we can see the grace of God, the exceeding richness that He has extended to us, and He will again in the future. We don't know what the next year holds for us. We do not know what the rest of the day or tomorrow holds for us, whether there will be a tomorrow. But we can be assured of God's grace upon our lives. And the wisdom of God. Romans 11 verse 33, it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." Again, it talks about His riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Just an encouragement for us to continue digging in the Word. It's been talked about a good bit already this morning in the devotional and Sunday school. As we spend time of digging that out, we're not going to exhaust it. You didn't exhaust it last year. And you know what? Just because I need to, I'm going to start over again. You're not going to exhaust it next year if next year comes. Oh, it's beyond finding out. It's there. It's the depth and riches that are there. Continue to dig them out. The wisdom of God and the understanding of God. James 1 and 7, verse 17 tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. James 1, 17. These things, these signs of faithfulness, and there's more I'm sure we can look at offhand, are gifts from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. That cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Did you find that true in your relationship with God this past year? There is no variableness. God does not change. God's promises are there. They are true. They will stand. They are also just. What He says and warns us as His people, He warns the sinners. He is a just God. He is a loving God, but He's also a just God. But there is no variableness. You can take Him at His word, exactly what He says. Did you find that with God last year? You will again in the future as well. Neither shadow of turning has the example or the idea of an eclipse. Now, I don't know how many of you saw that here a few months ago, but here in the South, it just got just a little, I don't know what do you call it, just a little dim outside. Clear skies, but it was a little dim. With God, it doesn't even do that. And if God seems dim this morning, it's not God that is at fault. Does God seem bright to you this morning, or does He seem just a little distant and dim? And you're just not exactly sure. Now, can I totally depend on Him? Yes. And if He seems dim this morning, don't blame God for that. Because with Him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It doesn't just become slightly dim with God. Now, in experiences in our life, sometimes we wonder, where is God? Why do things seem as dark as they are? And it's not God that has dimmed. It's not God that has moved. But one thing that we need to rest in, see, the things of experiences in life can be overwhelming, so to the point where it seems dim. Okay? Let me just say again, that's not God. It's experiences. And we can rest in the fact, even though we can't feel Him, because we can't go by feelings, because they're a real roller coaster at times, but we just have to accept the fact that God is faithful and will be faithful and always will be there. And it's facts, not feelings, that we can go by, because there's a promise here. There is no variableness and no dimming, no eclipses, no shadow of turning. So this morning, we're not standing here marveling that God was faithful this past year. That God was faithful. That's not the marvel this morning. But we marvel at His faithfulness to us as frail humans. Because it's not a question whether God is faithful. Or God, if God was faithful this past year. But that He is faithful to us as frail humans. Now, as we think about our own lives, where have we stood in all this? What have our lives been like? And what is our plans for the future, if there is a future for our lives? As I mentioned before, you know, this is the last day of 2017. And for some people, it may be the last day. And as I pondered over that, I concluded pretty quickly, you know, as we draw comparisons, as this would be our last day, where would you begin and stop? I think if we knew for a very fact that this was the last day, we would do things a lot differently than we were planning to do. Okay? But that doesn't mean that we have to go and do those things because this is possibly our last day. Jesus doesn't tell us to do that. I mean, we could think of small things. If this was truly my last day and I knew it, I'd probably go home and spend the rest of the day with my family, and I wouldn't bother taking a nap this afternoon because I'd want to, I don't know, give some final directions to my family. We can kind of go off board after a while. That's not what we're talking about this morning as we think about. But we talked about God's faithfulness. What we want to talk about this morning and reflect back on our own lives is, where are we? Are we faithful to God? God gives us, Jesus, when He was with His disciples, He gave them directions on how to live. He didn't just say, look, you got to do this and this because each day you never know. I don't even know when it's going to be your last day. And so this is, He says, be faithful. We're going to look at some of those scriptures this morning. Matthew 24 is where one of those many places that He warned His disciples the importance of being ready. Matthew 24 and verse 36. Well, He doesn't say much about being ready. He just says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And so we don't know. We don't know. You know, a few weeks ago, there was a relatively young man in Pennsylvania that didn't know either that it was going to be his last day. He was driving down the road with his 15-year-old son when he felt something come over him. And so he slowed up. He never got the vehicle into park even. And a heart attack overtook him and he was soon gone. He's like 48, 49 years old. He had no idea that that was going to be his last day. So he leaves behind his wife and a few children and a school year that never got done teaching by him. But he had no idea that was going to be his last day. Would he have done things differently? I don't know. I don't even know the man. I know his name, but that's all. So he did not know. And we don't either. But the question is, are we going to be faithful? Are we going to be faithful? God is faithful. We looked at that. We're assured of that this morning, I trust, that God is going to be faithful. He just is, because God is that way. Jesus asked an important question in Luke 18. Turn to Luke 18. He asked an important question that we need to consider. Luke 18 and verse 8, starting in the middle of that verse, he says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" When Jesus Christ comes for you, is he going to find you faithful? That's how we can personalize that verse. Is God going to find you faithful when he comes? And what is that? How do we know what we need to do to be faithful? Well, we have God's word. I had to think back of the, just illustrate it this way. Years ago when I went to school, we played a game. It was one of those cold winter days when it was 35 below zero and windy outside, and so it was a lot more comfortable playing inside. And so we had to, you know, come up with ideas of games to play, and the teacher hung up a picture, fairly simple picture on the wall, and said, "Now, and a blank sheet of paper beside it, and I want you to copy that picture." And so when the first person was done copying, you take the first picture away, and then you hang up another one beside the second picture, and then the next student was supposed to copy that picture. And once that one is done, you take the first one away again, and then you put another one there, and you copy that picture. And by the time you got five or six, or so, I don't know how many it was that we were done, we hung them all up, and then let's see what they look like from the original down the line about a number of pictures. And it was fascinating to see the digression that happened and details that were left out and etc. It was just a game. But we could have all copied off of that first one, the pictures would have looked a whole lot better. So what does that have to do with this verse? What are we copying? What are we copying? What are our children copying? Does it make a difference? What are our young people copying? Are we pointing them back to the Word, or do they just have us as an example? And what kind of example are we? We're not the original, okay? Jesus Christ was. But we have the original still hanging up, may I say. We have the Word of God. It's here. We know what Jesus Christ was like. We have that original example here. And are we pointing our children and young people back to the original and say, "Now this is the copy you need to make"? I want my boys to be better than I am. I want them to go back to the Word. Is God going to find faith when he comes? Is he going to find us faithful? Is he going to find our young people and children faithful? We as parents have a tremendous influence on that. We can't make that decision for them, but we can teach and instruct and pray for them and continue to point them back to the original. Is he going to find faith on the earth? How strong is it going to be? Luke 19 tells us another thing that God wants us to do while we're waiting for that time of his return. Ways that we can be faithful. Luke 19 and verse 33, Jesus tells his disciples there, or the people, he says, "Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come." How can we occupy till he comes? Galatians 6:10 tells us, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." He doesn't say, "Perhaps you have an opportunity this next year." No, he says, as ye have therefore opportunity. You have opportunity. You have opportunity to do good unto all men. That is one way that we can occupy till he comes, and especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We have opportunities. Are we looking for opportunities? Sometimes we get weary in well-doing. But Scripture admonishes us not to be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Occupy till I come. Continue to serve. Continue to serve. We have an example in one of the epistles back here that Paul was writing. I think it was Paul writing about this certain man. He said, now, he was writing to his church, and he said, now you heard that he was sick, and that's true. He was sick. He was nigh unto death. But the reason he was is because he gave himself to the work of the kingdom to the point of just about ruining his life, his health. Because he was that involved in the kingdom. Now we have another example. And these examples may seem a little extreme to us, I don't know. But it talks about in the Corinthians, I think at the last chapter of 1 Corinthians, it talks about this couple that have addicted themselves to the working of the saints. Now that kind of addiction is okay. If you want an addiction, be addicted to working in the kingdom. And if it brings you nigh unto death, I guess that's okay too. If that's what God lays on our heart. Occupy till I come. Are we going to be faithful? Are we going to continue to look for opportunities to serve? Now go to Luke chapter 12. Here we have a man that didn't either know that it was going to be his last day. And he had an opportunity here. But his focus was extremely wrong. Luke 12 and verse 16. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now, was that wrong? Was that okay? For one, he was already rich. And the other thing is, God had blessed him with a tremendous harvest. It was nothing that he did just so right that it brought forth plentifully. But our harvest, whether it's out of your garden or your field or your chicken houses or your business, it's a blessing from God. That's not the problem. The problem is what he thought within himself in verse 17. What shall I do? Because I have no room wherewith to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'm going to pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? He had no idea when he woke up that morning and decided to do this. I don't think he ever got it accomplished. He was going to set out. But he never got it accomplished. But God says, you know what? This is going to be your last day. Would he have lived any longer? I don't know. It doesn't say that. But God said, this is going to be your last day. And so what are you going to do with those things that you were going to hoard for yourself? He says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What are we going to do with the riches? You say riches? Yeah, riches. All of us have it. All of us have some riches. What are we going to do? There's also, jump over to verse 34. For where the treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I think that is the key. That is the key. Where is your treasure this morning? Is it in heaven? Are you laying up treasures in heaven? Or are you accumulating for yourself? And just giving a little bit. Christmas time is a time where a lot of people think about giving. Just giving a little bit, you know, it makes them feel good. That's why you got these little bell jinglers out there inside of Walmart. You know, because people feel like, you know, throwing a few coins in because now I've done a good deed. What are we giving this morning? Are we laying up treasures in heaven? Where is our treasure this morning? And that's where our heart is. Our heart is there with our treasure. Ephesians chapter 5. As we think about the future, as we think about if God tarries and gives us more time, how are we to live? Are we going to be faithful? Ephesians chapter 5 gives us some more clear direction on how to conduct our lives. In verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." That word circumspectly means accurately. "See that ye walk accurately." Accurately according to what? Do you understand what the will of God is? It says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Do we understand what the will of the Lord is? Do we make that a priority in our lives so that we can walk accurately? We gauge some things by others too many times. Okay? Too many times we gauge ourselves by others. When these fads come floating down across churches, we look at that and say, "They're doing it, must be okay." Brothers and sisters, that is not a gauge for God's people. God's people go by the Word of God, not by the fads that others call okay. Are we walking circumspectly, not as fools? You know what? If we say that just because other Mennonite churches are doing these fads, it's okay, let me tell you something, that's foolish. That's foolish. That's unwise. What is the will of God? How does God want me to live? Is He going to find me faithful when Jesus Christ comes? Is He going to find us faithful? Colossians chapter 2 brings out this thought as well. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. "As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." If you call yourself a child of God this morning, if you have received Christ as your personal Savior this morning, walk in Him, he says. Walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And goes ahead and tells us to beware of some things. But be rooted and grounded in Him, built up in Him, established in the faith. That is in the Word of God. What does God want of you? Is He going to find you faithful? Are you going to walk accurately? Are you going to be wise? You know, a wise person is going to say, "That is something that I can't follow. That is something that I can't do. My good friends are doing it, but that doesn't mean that I have to." What does God's Word say? What does my authority say about it? What direction does God give me for it? And as we think about our sovereign God, as we think about His faithfulness to us in the past and His promise that He will be faithful in the future as well, if God gives us more time, because of that, because of God's faithfulness, we can be faithful too. Not to question whether God's going to be faithful. The question is whether you and I are going to be faithful. Let's go back to Luke chapter 12 for a few verses in closing. Luke chapter 12 and verse 35. And let us make these our goal for the future. For the next year, I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions because I don't care for them. Okay? If something needs to be changed in your life, don't wait till tomorrow morning. Do it now. Luke 12 and verse 35. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Let's be of those that are ready to open immediately when that knock comes on our heart's door and Christ returns for us. May he find us faithful.